This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And good Saturday morning and welcome to October and the opening day of the Mississippi-Louisiana squirrel season. A little bit of squirrel revival going on there for you. Get you in the mood, and good luck to you if you're going to be headed out there this morning looking for the bushy tails and the rabbit ears. They're also open, you know. Rabbit hunting is mostly late season when a lot of the vegetation's down. You can get the dogs out in the cool weather. But I do have a tip for you. If you're an early season rabbit hunter and you'd want to do a little combination rabbit and squirrel hunting, I'll share a tip with you that's worked for me. Also got the bow season for you deer hunters going on. And, boy, I got some news on Red Snapper. It looks like it's finally coming to an end. It's going to be shutting down after this weekend. I'll explain more details about the red snapper season in Louisiana. Let's see, what else we got going on? Oh, did you hear? Imported shrimp infiltrated the recent Louisiana Shrimp and Petroleum Festival in Morgan City. Who knew the shrimp and the petroleum would be served together? Well, if you went and you had some shrimp, how were they? Text me. Do that along with your fishing and hunting reports, your comments, your questions. We have an open text board. Comes right here to the studio, 504-260-1870. Can't take photos, however. If you want to send me a pic, it's certainly welcome. But do that on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and just find the contact button. All right, we're also going to hear from the stars of this week's Bayou Wild TV's Tigers in the Wild episode. You know, we've been taking LSU athletes out and enjoying the great outdoors and showcasing not just their athletic skills, but also their hunting and fishing skills. This one is titled Red Snapper Flexin'. We have two members from the LSU National Gymnastic Championship team, Sierra Ballard and Ashley Cowan. We'll be hearing from them about their first ever offshore fishing trip aboard the Kemo Sabe 2. And we did that out of Vermilion Bay. All right, well, for your listening pleasure, we also have the story of a high-profile gator hunter. You probably heard about it already, but we'll give you a little more details on a guy that was busted on this week's Bad Boys of the Outdoors. Also, we've got our regular field reporters, professional captains, marina operators, sharing fishing reports with us to help you get out and find them. And we can do that if you want to add your fishing report into it. Text us your message. Again, that number is 504-260-1870. If you're headed out, and it looks like the snapper, we actually went over quota on the red snapper, which could mean a penalty for next year's quota. But if you're going to try to get it in, and it does not technically close until 11:59 p.m. tomorrow. So you got today and tomorrow, but forecast for the offshore does not look good. A little bit stiffer winds and seas than what I'd like to fish snapper in. East winds today about 15 to 20 knots, 3 to 5-foot seas. Tomorrow getting even worse, 15 to 25, 4 to 6-foot seas, kind of putting red snapper off. On the interior lakes and bays, not quite as bad, but it's going to be pretty breezy, light chop out there, east winds. Somewhere between 8 and 15 today, increasing to easterly at 10 to 18 tomorrow. Mississippi River stage, 2.7, and pretty good tidal range, 1.0 on the tide marker. All right, when we come back after this, we'll check in with Robbie Campo down at Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. I'm looking at the radar right now. Most of the rain is light, and most of it, almost all of it, is offshore. Some of it may move in along the lower coast, so bring the wet weather gear if you're headed out there. And good luck to you squirrel and rabbit hunters on opening day. If you're going, shoot me a text. Tell me where you are and what you're hoping to do. We'll be right back and talk more about the stuff you and I love to discuss every Saturday morning on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's take the trip down to Lower St. Bernard Parish. And when we cross the Bayou Lutra Bridge, just hook the left and go down to Campo's Marine and talk to Robbie Campo. Robbie, what's the stage set there this morning? What are you looking at weather-wise?
Well, Don, I pulled up here this morning to extremely high tides. We got a northeast wind blowing about 15 a steady 15. Water's up on the docks. It's up on the cement. You know, water's really, really high this morning. So you're going to get wet feet if you're coming over here this morning, that's for sure. Bring your boots if you got some, because water's up. It is going to fall today. I don't know when exactly high tide is, but I know we have the tide gauge is showing a foot of tide today, so we do have some really good tide movement. You know, Don, we had this neap tide thing, kind of double tide thing going on throughout the week, and they still caught plenty of fish around, you know, or just around with the Lake Bourne area here, around Shell Beach area. Did very well on the Lake Robin side, over on the Lake Coquille side, you know, in that lake and at Hopedale Lagoon area. Starting to see some really nice trout being caught up in there. You know, even up in the Biloxi Marsh, well, we hadn't been seeing that. You know, it's been getting better every week. So now we're starting to see some of those 12 and 7, 8 trout turning into 13s, 13 and an 8, 13 and a quarter. So it is happening. Mother Nature's doing her thing. There's plenty of bait for these fish to eat. So I was just hoping that, you know, some of these 12 and a half and 12 and three quarter fish would, you know, all at the same time just turn into legal fish to catch. But I guess it will happen. We're starting to see some really nice trout being caught mixed in with them. So that's telling me that this transitioning thing is happening as we speak. So, and you know, and the water's good and salty in here. So now I'm thinking that, you know, these fish are going to, you know, it's just going to be just a matter of days before it really pops off real good. And it has been good, but until it gets great, you know what I'm saying? So we're seeing, you know, plenty of redfish up in the marshes, up in the Biloxi Marsh, and even on the south side over here, behind the Hopedale, Delacroix area, they've been catching plenty of redfish back there. It was just a really, really good week of fishing. I didn't see the, down when they drop these limits like this, you know, they come in, they got 30, and you see them on the table. It's, you know, I'm still used to seeing 50, you know, 25 per person, and you know what I mean? So, you know, you get used to the new limits. You know, you look on the table, but they're still doing pretty good. I had a guy yesterday morning went right there, LaBeouf's cut. He put 15 trout in the boat in 10 minutes, if that tells you something. So I think today, Don, if you're going to be fishing, you know, with this stiff northeast wind blowing that we got, I think you're going to have to go, you know, if you're going to fish the Mr. Go, fish the cuts on a Mr. Go from Lena Lagoon going up maybe to Stump Bayou or going up towards Violet that way, or either behind the dam, you're going to get you a mixture of white trout, speckled trout, you know. And look, Don, this white trout thing is really caught on. So, you know, people are learning how to take care of these fish. I know we talk about it a lot, but it started to catch on. So, you know, people are telling me now, and I'm talking people that wouldn't even keep them, are like, man, you know, they're not so bad. You know, you can't tell the difference when you fry them. I said, well, I've been telling you that for years. So, you know, everybody just had, it was almost like they had a hard head on a line when they had a white trout on it. But now this thing is catching on, and, you know, with no limit, no size limit, you know, they're catching a, you know, going out there and making mixed boxes. I ask you to respectfully keep the nicer ones and throw the little ones back, but, you know, and they do, and for the most part, nobody wants to clean a 9-inch fish, so they, you know, they are doing the right thing. But still in all, reminder, people, October the 15th is coming quick. We will have flounder season closed until November 30th. So I think you're going to have a month and a half of flounder season closed, which has really rebounded back pretty quick, Don. I think this is something that's going to have to be relooked at for wildlife and fisheries in the next year or two to maybe shorten that or do away with it. These fish have come back really good. They've been catching plenty of them around here. You know, a lot of people don't know how to fish for flounders. You got to fish for flounders on a flat or either on the edge of a hole. And a lot of, you know, they just get lucky and catch them, you know what I mean? So, but the flounder population has bounced back pretty good. And I think that's something that's just, you know, maybe with these closures for the last couple of years, you know, they got to spawn and, you know, reproduce, and the numbers are looking good.
Yeah, fortunately, maybe the way things are looking, they can reduce the period when they're going to be off limits, or actually do away with it altogether if the numbers come back strong enough. Robbie, what's in your shrimp tanks? I can't see from here, so what's in there this morning?
Well, we stocked up pretty good, Don. You know, it's just a little wet getting to them.
Yeah, boots are required this morning.
Yeah, boots are required this morning. Yes, sir, absolutely. If you're coming down here, you know, make sure you got, or you're going to have to roll your pants up because the water is up, and that's out of my hands. That's, you know, this is a Mother Nature thing going on. But, yeah, and like I said, Don, you know, this wind blowing like this today, I just had somebody ask me just a few minutes ago, where do you think I ought to go fishing today? I said, well, you know, you could, they're sitting there waiting for daylight. I said, well, you could either go fish on the edge of the Margo, or you could go up in a Bluxy Marsh behind Stump Lagoon. They did catch some nice fish Wednesday over by Crooked Bayou, so I think Lake Eugene's probably going to be out because that's going to be a little bit muddy in that area. Bob's Lakes area is probably going to be a little bit muddy, but the inside of that Crooked Bayou area in that Stump Lagoon, Muscle Bay, you know, Crooked Bayou Lagoon, I think Pete's Lagoon, I think that should be doable. The water should be clean back there. Up in Magnolia Lagoon, I think it's going to be good. You know, up around the St. Malo area, been catching some fish back up in here. So up in Bayou, in the back of the lagoons behind Bayou Sioux. So you get up in the heart of that marsh, I think you're going to be okay.
Robbie, you're giving them a lot of options. Sounds good, my friend. Thanks for the report, as always. We appreciate it, and stay dry.
Yes, sir. Talk to you next week, Don. Bye-bye.
All righty. When you get there, hook the left, and you'll see Robbie down there at Shell Beach. All right, we come back after this. I'm going to tell you more about the closing of the Louisiana red snapper season. It's been a good one. In fact, we went over the limit. We'll tell you what implications that'll have on next year's quota. And also, we'll talk more about what went on at the Louisiana Shrimp and Petroleum Festival in Morgan City. Back with that after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, you got today and tomorrow, and, well, probably not much chance given the seas and the forecast we've got offshore to catch some red snapper because it will close at midnight tomorrow, technically 11:59 p.m. And that's because the Loch Creel estimates indicate that 966,005 pounds, which represents 103.4% of Louisiana's 2024 allocation, which was close to 1 million pounds, have been harvested through September 22nd, so there's still some more fish to count. Once all that data has been reported through tomorrow, then they'll come up with a final estimate with the complete landings for the 2024 season. Now, whatever poundage over the allocation we go, it will be deducted from next year's quota. It's been a great 151-day four-snapper limit season. Most of the time it was 7 days a week, and that would not have been possible without the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries creation of that Loch Creel Active Near Real-Time Management Program, which a lot of you participate in. So we can be proud of that. It was started here in Louisiana, and other states are now starting to adopt it, and without that we would never be able to catch the number of red snapper that are now allocated to us. Well, after tomorrow night, no red snapper till next spring, and we'll be looking forward to that again. All right, we had an incident took place at the Louisiana Shrimp and Petroleum Festival in Morgan City. They did some genetic testing of the seafood, and the person who did the testing, Mr. Williams of CD Consulting, he found that 4 out of 5 of the vendors there that were selling you the public shrimp were serving foreign shrimp that were passed off as local. This was held over the Labor Day weekend. This company is a food safety tech that developed a seafood species identification test. And the shrimpers in Louisiana invited him to Morgan City to try out his technology at the festival. This festival goes way back to 1936. Williams said he purchased plates of boiled shrimp from 5 out of the 12 seafood vendors, and he asked each one where the shrimp were caught. All 5 vendors assured him their shrimp came from Louisiana waters. However, his testing showed that only 1 of 5 vendors, which was Woodrow's Cajun Cuisine, sold shrimp that were actually from the Gulf of Mexico. This was according to his testing. The other four samples were foreign farm-raised species, most likely imported from India or Ecuador. And he admitted that this experiment wasn't enough to withstand scientific scrutiny, but said the technology's been published in scientific journals and has undergone peer review. So he feels pretty confident the results were accurate. Of those four who were selling foreign shrimp, two were local restaurants and two were vendors that exclusively go to fairs and festivals. He did not want to identify him, saying that his testing wasn't meant to embarrass anyone, but I believe he should have identified them. He said the festival organizers should hold the vendors to a higher standard. The person getting the revenue knew, the people at the top definitely knew foreign shrimp were being sold. Representatives from that festival did not respond to calls and emails from the Louisiana Illuminator, the publication that published this story. And by the way, health inspectors have recorded more than 2,600 violations of a 2019 law that requires restaurants and other establishments to indicate on their menus if they're selling you imported shrimp or crawfish. The state has not levied a single fine for any of those 2,600 violations since the law took effect. Senator Pat Conick of Marrero, and I have had him interviewed before, he worked hard on a bill this past session and got it passed, and it will be intended to mislead seafood marketing, and it will require anyone serving seafood in Louisiana to clearly, and that says clearly, disclose whether it's local or imported. A lot of times it's very difficult to tell. They may put some Cajun-made or French name on it, but in the fine print it says a product of China or some other place. And you can usually tell by the price if you're getting good Louisiana seafood. Now, that new law is scheduled to go into effect this coming January, and restaurants will have to prominently print it on their menu if they are serving foreign shrimp. If you went to the festival and you ate some shrimp, how were they? Of course, maybe you got some of the real Gulf stuff. Maybe you didn't. You know, that's why it's even more important to have these at the dock sales that we promote. You know, they have those down in St. Bernard Parish. The fishermen bring their boats and their catch to the dock, and the consumers go straight there and load their ice chest up, and you know where it's coming from, and you're getting it fresh if you deal with it there. All right, I got some text messages coming in. We'll get to those, and I'll tell you about that rabbit hunting tip for you squirrel and rabbit hunters right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. I want to remind you about a really good little fishing rodeo that's coming up next weekend. It'll be next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's the 9th annual Venetian Isles Fishing Rodeo. It's going to be at the Lake Catherine Island Marina on Chef Highway. This rodeo actually goes back a number of years. It was really one of the big rodeos in the state. And then it kind of went away, and then some folks wanted to bring it back, and they resurrected it, and now for the last 9 years it's been going good and strong. It benefits Wish to Fish Louisiana, a very worthwhile organization, getting kids involved in fishing. And this rodeo has a strong flavor of kids categories. There's actually three divisions. There's the youth, which is 9 and under. That's the little guys and girls. Junior anglers 10 to 15, and then the adult, which is 16 or older. So there's a fishing category for everyone. It will include speckled trout, sheephead, bass, the redfish under the 27-inch, flounder. Flounder will still be open. It'll be closing down after that. Biggest fish and the alligator gar. And there's some special categories for the little 9 and under. They can catch the catfish, flounder, croaker, and either the white or speckled trout. If you want to find out more information, just Google it. It's Venetian Isles Fishing Rodeo, and all the ticket information and the contact information is all there. They do a great job on it, and again, it benefits the Venetian Isles Fishing Rodeo and Wish to Fish Louisiana. All right, when we pause for this 10 seconds, when we come back, we're going to share some text messages from you, our listeners. We'll do that after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, I see our friend Darrell Carpenter sent me some update from the Shrimp and Petroleum Festival, a statement they made after that story appeared, and we'll talk more to him about it because he does some shrimping down there in Grand Isle. All right, let's see. Here's the first text in. This is a Mississippi squirrel hunter going after those bushy tails with Boy this morning. Good luck to everyone. Is that his name, Boy? was good enough for Tarzan's kid. I guess you can name your son Boy. Anyway, good luck to you. And I did want to pass along that rabbit hunting tip. You know, rabbit hunting really doesn't crank up until we get some colder weather. It's not conducive to warm weather. There's still a lot of thick vegetation, and it's tough on the beagles. But if you go squirrel hunting, every now and then you can come across a rabbit in the same woods. And a lot of times those rabbit, because they're so well camouflaged and they're perfectly still, might be underneath a little brush, you don't really see them. And I found that when I used to still hunt for squirrels at the same time, I'd keep my eyes on the ground. And what you look for a rabbit, you're not going to see, maybe you might see the ears, but because of the color, it blends in and it's almost invisible with the camouflage. But the one thing that stands out is that big rabbit eye. And I'm not talking about using a light at night. You can spot that big eye sometimes. It'll be identifiable, and then you can spot the rabbit before he takes off from underneath your feet and kind of shocks you. Anyway, good luck if you're going to be doing some small game rabbit and squirrel hunting. Squirrel used to be the number one target among hunters, but now it's become the white-tailed deer, even the young kids. But it's a great sport to get youngsters involved in their first hunt, and I've done that with several of them, and they've gone on to become all-time big-time hunters. All right, here's a text that says it's the Rocket Family's Redfish Invitational down in Dulac. Good luck to Dale. Catch, measure, take a pick, and release. A question comes in, is shark good to eat? Yes, it is. It has some special handling problems. Sharks have a different system of getting rid of their ammonia, and it kind of concentrates in the lower end. So it's good to cut the tail off and bleed a shark real good. And I always ate the just certain parts of the shark, that white meat that you find near the tail. Sometimes it looks a little gray depending on the species, but they actually used to serve shark to public school students. It's healthy and doesn't have that bad of a taste. A little bit strong, but kind of along the lines of a catfish, I'd say. All right, and you can find shark recipes of all type. All right, our friend Wingbone, Alabama, he's retiring the Remington Model 1100, probably well-deserved. And we have Big E in Thibodeau. He's going to Wadeel Wildlife Management today near Baton Rouge, taking the grandson Nolan, hoping they're going to catch his first fish with his pawpaw. Even if we don't catch, it's the experience that counts. We got a good chance of catching them. They recently stocked some catfish there, and they had the Louisiana National and National Hunting and Fishing Day celebration. And they had a lot of fishing, but they didn't catch them all. There's still some there. Let me know how you do. Lafitte LT, he's heading to Grand Isle next week for the Women's Rodeo benefiting breast cancer. His wife is a 22-year-old survivor. Congratulations to her. On the team, Hukna Matata. Yeah, that's a play on words there. He says, pray for us husbands and dads. These girls are extremely competitive. They want to top last year. They placed in three different categories. And someone wanted to know when the next seafood market in Delacroix, Hopedale, will go pick up that fresh seafood. They always notify me, and I'll have it on the air. But if someone down there is listening and they have a date set in advance, let me know, and we'll share it with the audience. Here's one that says the vendors that were selling imported shrimp as local caught wild shrimp should be banned from any further festivals, including local restaurants. This one says, Robbie talking about the need for boots down there this morning reminded me a bit of history. Not sure how many people know this, but Chalmette is an old Indian word. It truly translates to land of the white boot people. I have to get my research team to verify that. All right, we got some more text in. If you've got one for us, 504-260-1870. We'll be back to talk to Kirk Stansel out in southwest Louisiana, get a recap on his teal season and a fishing report if you're headed that way. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time to check in with Captain, Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk Stansel out there at Hackberry Rod and Gun in Hackberry. Captain Kirk, how are you doing this morning?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. We're going to fight a little wind this morning, but other than that, it's good.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be dry at least, but yeah, the wind's going to be a little pesky.
That's right. We were dry yesterday. That rain just missed us to the east. So, it's going to be a little breezy today. No, it's not going to be breezy. It's going to have a little wind. It's supposed to blow 10. It's blowing about 11 right now, but 10 to 15 is what they're forecasting. But most of our fishing has been back in the marsh lately. The trout being caught are being caught north up by the casinos, you know, up there at Lake Charles, Priam Lake. And there's decent numbers of trout coming from up there. But with my crew, we're going into marsh after redfish today. That's what they want.
Yeah, I saw some beautiful just underneath, you know, on that upper end of the slot reds that came in down there this week.
Yeah, we've been catching a lot of redfish, a lot just over the slot. And then there's quite a few under the slot. The redfish has been good, you know, back as long as you're back in the marsh. The lake hadn't been producing that many redfish. And Big Lake West Cove, it just hadn't turned on yet. No birds. You know, there's been a few birds pick here and there, but I think this next front we get, it'll open things up. It'll get better.
How are you fishing those reds? Y'all using artificial or using live bait?
I'm going to start off throwing go up under a cork, but my guys are probably going to throw shrimp.
Yeah, another week to get those flounders.
That's right, and they haven't done it. That's bycatch right now, catching a few here and there. You know, they hadn't start ganging up. Water temperature needs to drop a little bit, and we need to get rid of some tide, and the flounder run will start. But like I said, we got till the 15th, and that's it.
Yep. If you would recap your teal season, it seemed like most areas had a pretty good start, and then we had a little bit of a drought in the middle. But, boy, when that frontal system, and it wasn't much of a front, but when it came through, brought a lot of birds in to wrap it up that last few days.
Well, for us in the marsh, it was not good. It's one of the worst teal seasons we've ever had, Don. Opening weekend was good. You know, like I talked to you the opening day.
Right.
I think we had 3 at the time. At 8 o'clock, we had our 18. And the next day I went out, same spot, we shot 3.
Mm.
And we just didn't see the number of birds we normally do by a bunch. And it just, well, for whatever reason, we weren't in one of the hot spots.
Yeah, a lot of people reported that, and then there were some sprinklings of some really good teal action. But I think it just, you know, bears out what the feds are reporting, that the population of blue wings is down. In fact, it's down below the minimum that allows for a 16-day season. So I'm expecting a 9-day season next year.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. That's what I'm told. It's going to be 9 days next year.
Well, we're looking forward to the November big duck season. What kind of shape are your marshes in as far as feed in the ponds?
In great shape. You know, we had a real wet year this year, you know, behind that drought here, and there's a lot of food in the marshes. Our marshes look just outstanding. They look real good.
Well, sounds like it's setting up to be a great cast and blast some month in November.
That's right. It should be. yeah, I mean, you know, the fish hadn't got turned on to that fall pattern yet, but as soon as we get another front or so, drop that water temperature a little bit, get some tides out of the marsh, the trout, you know, will start scooting up, fish bite will turn on, and then the ducks with it.
Yeah, and those redfish start stacking up by those weirs and dams and cuts and the passes, and it'll all be on by then. Well,
that's
if somebody
right.
wants to get in on that stuff, I know there's several ways to get you. We got your connection, a link on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Tell us about how to get you on all your media sources.
Okay, well, our website's Hackberry Rod and Gun, you spell out and.com. I got a live cam feed on there, and we have a toll-free number. It's 888-762-3391.
Now, Kirk, you do a kind of a little podcast report each week. Is there a set date and time when you do that report, or is it whenever Kirk feels like he's got time to sit down and chat?
Tuesdays at 6 o'clock.
Oh, there we go. Put that on the schedule. Yep. And how do people access it?
Through Facebook. I mean, all I know is Buddy set my phone up, I push the buttons and get to it and do it. That's all I know.
That's all you need to know.
That's right.
Kirk, always great talking to you.
Facebook.
Always
okay,
great conversation.
Okay, always good talking to you, Don.
Yep.
You
have we need to do it in person. Hope we can get down there sometime this fall. All right.
Okay, buddy. I hope so. All right, thank you.
Captain Kirk Stansel, one of the Stansel brothers operating Hackberry Rod and Gun. What a great place they have down there. You might want to check him out on that Facebook and catch his reports each week. All right, we got some more texts coming in. The Backstrap Stacker, he says he's getting ready for bow season over in Alabama. They're trimming up a few shooting lanes. Got some nice bucks on camera. Yeah, well, you got to put them somewhere else besides the camera. Those cameras, boy, You know, they can really be teasers sometimes. All right, here's one that says, good morning. Just a notice that Venetian Isles Community Association Fishing Rodeo's next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a benefit for Wish to Fish, and I'll be running out of Lake Catherine Marina. Thank you. Bye. You must have got a little bit of a lake start. I just talked about that. All right, here's one that says, old man Sam, he's heading to the deer stand. A statewide handicapped hunter whitetail deer weekend. He's looking for his last buck. Hope you can get him. And here's one says, Buenos dias de Ohio. What do you think about hunting them Canada geese? They're thinking on it up here. Ever et one? How they taste? Not sure about that language mix there. Anyway, Canada geese. Yes, I have eaten them. And they are excellent. I mean, they're not the quality of a speckle belly, but they're better than the snow and blue geese. So if that puts them in perspective for you. All right, we come back after this. I'm going to talk to Daryl Carpenter, get a Grand Isle fishing report, and also chat with him a little bit about the shrimping issue with the imports coming in versus the good Louisiana Gulf shrimp. We're back to do that after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Have you ever been out fishing and had your reel scream? Well, this guy has, Daryl Carpenter. In fact, he's named his business. His operation is Charter Fishing Service, reelscreamers.com. He operates out of Grand Isle. And Daryl, we're going to get to fishing, we're going to get to shrimping, but before that, what's the weather looking like? It looks like that stuff is kind of offshore from you guys, but I'm sure the wind's going to be picking up a little later. What's it look like today?
Well, Don, we're sitting right on the edge of it. You know, the Gulf's full of rain, but it's dry here on the island right now, which, of course, we needed. One of my captains came back yesterday, and he wanted to know if I could go get a big bag of rice so he could just climb in it and you know, it'd soak up all the moisture and dry off, because it rained on us all day yesterday. But no, I mean, the wind's actually dropping a little bit. When I got up this morning, it was around 15 or so. The wind gauge says it's going to drop down to 10. So east, you know, mostly east, a little north in it. But other than that, I mean, hey, it was a good day yesterday, and hopefully it's going to be as good today, you know.
Got some beautiful days, a little hint of fall coming next week, and have some lows near that. Well, I don't know if it'll get that low in as the 60s in Grand Isle, because you guys usually stay warm in the rest of the state, but it's going to be a little bit of a pleasant change from what we've had in those mid to high 90s in the middle of the summer. What's been, what's been the fish of choice down there this week?
Well, that's just it, Don. There has been no fish of choice. I mean, the fall bite is setting up to where it's that early fall pattern that's starting, to where it's pushing us into the marsh with the weather and everything else to start looking for these fish. And you're finding just a cornucopia of it. I mean, speckled trout, white trout, black drum, redfish, we had them all yesterday. And it's you know, it's just a setup that you're going where all the fish are congregating at this point. Everything is all in one place. And you're having to slow down and fish them a little bit differently. The speckled trout, my God, I mean, I bet between our three boats yesterday, there must have been probably close to 1,000 speckled trout caught to keep what we did keep. There are shrimp everywhere. I mean, birds and fish chasing shrimp, you name it. But the problem is you're getting up into that estuary. So out of that 1,000 fish, we had maybe 120 of them that were keeper size. So, you know, that's between the three boats, that's what came back. And like I said, the black drum mix, and we had everything but flounder yesterday. We didn't tag in any flounder yesterday. But that pattern will continue. I mean, up there in the marsh, you know, fishing those deeper holes and stuff when you can find them. And that's when you add in the black drum and the redfish with them also.
Are you fishing live bait, or are you using that Marker 54? What's been your technique?
The majority of the bite was artificial. It's artificial under a cork, as long as those fish are chasing those shrimp. You know, it's real easy to put an artificial under a cork and hand it to a customer. In fact, one of my captains was telling me yesterday that he was fishing a double rig, and the customer set the pole down over the edge of the boat, over the side of the boat, to get him a drink. And when he went back and picked the pole up, he had a trout on each hook, just hanging it over the side of the boat.
That happens. That's when you are luckier than you are good. Daryl, the Louisiana Shrimp and Petroleum Festival, they issued a statement, and I want to thank you for sharing that with me since this news came out, and well, they might, because I'm sure this would be a negative on them to find out that they're selling imported stuff, a lot of that junk that comes here full of antibiotics and raised in the shrimp are hatched in some really horrible sanitary conditions in some of these other countries. And not all of it, a very small percentage of it, is actually inspected, so you don't know what you're getting when that stuff comes over here. Looks like they're taking some steps to help their vendors clearly identify if they're going to be selling imported shrimp at their festival next year to comply with the new law. You know, Darryl, I can tell Gulf shrimp just from the smell, if not the smell, the taste from imports. I'm sure you can, too, as much dealing you've had with shrimp.
And the texture, Don. I mean, you can bite into a shrimp, and you can tell whether it's a Captain D's or whether it's a local shrimp. I mean, you know, not to call anyone out, but so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, and look, hey, kudos to Representative Connick for trying to put some more teeth into that law. You know, if people would ever see the back of the house, so to speak, in a restaurant, they would be shocked at some of the stuff they're eating. I mean, Louisiana needs a full truth and menu law, in my opinion, because it's not just the shrimp. I mean, you go into a restaurant and order catfish, and 9 out of 10 times you're eating some Japanese swine that they're calling catfish, you know?
Yeah. Well, and some people, you know, because of the price, they don't care. They'll choose to eat it. And from what I understand, it's illegal to try to ban that in any state. It's a federal law that they can't ban imported products. And I guess that's to give the consumer a choice of whether they want it or not. I just think it needs to be very prominently displayed on packaging, on menus, so people know before they get it. As long as if they want to eat it, that's up to them. But I think people should know so they're not deceived.
You know, and the sad part is, Don, look, I don't go into a seafood restaurant without asking, because most of them don't publish it like they're supposed to.
Right.
But the sad part is you're asking some 20, 21-year-old waitress that's probably never seen the coast, where does your seafood come from? And you get the dumbest deer in the headlight look. It's like, I don't know, out of a cardboard box.
Yeah, I don't know. Darryl, we got to go. RealScreamers.com. Give them the telephone number.
225-937. 6288.
All right, till next week. We'll see you then. Captain Darryl Carpenter. All right, coming up in the second hour, we're going to have Captain Mike Gallo, Brendan Bayard's Paddler's Report, a swamp person busted by Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries, all next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.